www.blogtalkradio.com.
Bem-vindo, Subaru e Magical Robots Train Shows. Your host, Super Saiyan Mandel Rogerson. Weird voice from American Missy. Also, we may be including cartoon characters, Crazy Kane Loving Jackie Bass, Grumpy Farmer Skink Allergic Spark Person, and many of our happy, fun train peoples. Most enjoyment of Raw begins. Now!
People got hurt on stretchers. We had someone take the GTS, and it was all about CM Punk all night long on this edition of the Monday Night Raw. This is the WTR post show, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. And this time we're echo free. Let's hope. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, joining me on the call this week will be the Spud Guy. He's restarting his computer. But joining me now is the one and only, the world champion cauliflower thrower, Jackie Feist.
Oh, we don't have to tell that story here.
And the world...
Most embarrassing story ever.
And the world famous cowboy chick, Lindsay, is here as well.
Hello, all. I'm back.
Yay.
Rock is surrounded by women. I imagine he's very happy right now.
I am. I am very happy right now. If you would like to be surrounded by women, please give us a call at 267-297-1397, and you can be a part of the show. We're going to break down everything that happened on tonight's Monday Night Raw. Before we get through, you know, my whole two pages of notes, I take notes for this show. Don't ask me
You're
why.
So dedicated.
I am. When I don't take notes, we have no format, and the show goes off its handles, and we have no structure. So we gotta keep on structure, but overall, let's start off with, what was your overall opinions on the show, Jackie?
It was really good. I was really disappointed that we didn't get to see too much of Punk kicking Ornice's ass. I would have liked to have seen more than we got. But you take what you can get. I've been wanting to see that for a while. I was very, very happy. I don't know about Lindsay. I have a feeling I would could guess, but I was very happy with Kane's appearance today. Tore it up
it
on
was,
Zachary. Oh,
it
go
was
ahead.
It was quite orgasmic.
No matter who he's hurting, as long as he's putting the hurt on someone, I don't care, and I don't care what he does to him. So Zack Ryder's got a broken back, but anyway.
Lindsay, what was your overall takes of this week's edition of Monday Night Raw?
I liked it overall. I thought it was much better than last week. Spuck and I are going to differ on this. I know he said he didn't like it when we tried to do this the first time, but I liked it better. This week it felt like it had more flow. There was a better storytelling in it than there was last week. The Kane segment was awesome. The fact that he was just breaking everything, including Zack Ryder. My only disappointment was that they didn't do anything with Kane after he walked backstage. I was really expecting Kane either attack Ryder in the ambulance or make the ambulance explode, and that didn't happen. Instead, we just got angry face John Cena, who didn't do shit as usual.
No, he had his Miz face on tonight.
Oh, he had Miz face on tonight? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
eyeballs bugging out, all he's all shaky and everything. It was stupid.
So that's hashtag Miz face?
Yes, hashtag Miz face.
Okay, we're just going to keep track of these. Hashtag Miz face. Okay.
But other than that, I liked it. Like I said, kicking Laurinaitis' ass at the end was amazing, seeing him take the GTS. Also, the fact that we're going to have Triple H come back next week, potentially, and hand Laurinaitis' ass, God willing, will be awesome. Because you know exactly, it's sad to say you potentially know what's going to happen, but maybe not. But it will be an interesting exchange because we're finally going to see the continuation of the story.
The story that's been many months in the making.
Yes.
So we're as CM Punk opened up tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, and he basically wanted Johnny Ace to come out, and, well, Johnny Ace didn't come out at first. John Cena came out and interrupted. Out of all people, he comes out. He's looking, you know, for an apology. He's looking for a Zack Ryder rematch, and he wants Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, to resign.
Well, we all want John Laurinaitis to resign, but we all want a lot of things.
Yeah, we kind of do, and I thought this was a well-done segment because it then led into a really good matchup.
It did.
To start off the show. I could say a main event quality opening contest on Monday Night Raw.
Yes, I'd say that.
Yeah, definitely.
Which featured CM Punk and John Cena teaming up to take on Mr. Ziggles, Dolph Ziggler, and the United States Champion, Jack Swagger. Overall opinions on this. Let's start with the opening exchange with CM Punk and John Cena and Johnny Laurinaitis. Jackie, you go first.
It was the first time in a while, at least in the last few weeks, that we actually had Cena come out, like, right at the very beginning, so that was a little bit surprising. He's not mixed in too much in that whole Laurinaitis Punk thing, not too much, so I was kind of getting used to not seeing him there. But since he decided to show his face, I mean, the way that I saw it, it was just a mixture, a continuation of the Kane storyline. He was all angry and pissed off. He didn't pander to the crowd half as much as he usually does. He just walked right out, which I think just... I mean, it shows that they're actually somewhat making an effort to tell a story, which, and that's ultimately what made me happy about the whole thing, is I don't really care so much about it as content, but the angry character of John Cena from one storyline is mixing in with the CM Punk storyline with John Laurinaitis, and this is how wrestling used to be before everything was all John Cena 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So just from a writing standpoint, I'm very happy with what I saw.
Lindsay, what was your take on this opening, 15-20 minutes of this show?
I really didn't hear too much of it. I was watching Raw on a feed, and I had the feed on mute, and I could hear Jackie's TV. So I was kind of like using Jackie's TV for the real sound and using the feed to actually see it. But from everything I saw and I heard, I really actually liked it. I liked the fact that Cena was more serious. I liked that he didn't pander to the crowd nearly as much. He was more direct, more to business, and it fit the feel of the storyline. Same thing with CM Punk. He was more serious. He went right after Johnny Ace, and it felt like a very good segment. It was exactly what they needed to open the show with to set the tone for the rest of the show.
I think it also served really well to have this really intense kind of, this really intense environment around going into the last Raw, before the Rumble.
Right.
Yeah. Spug, what was your take on the opening segment with CM Punk, John Cena, and John Laurinaitis?
It's overdone. They're trying to, especially when you're going to devote the last 20 minutes of your show to CM Punk and John Laurinaitis, and we all know the ultimate end of it is going to be that John Laurinaitis is going to have his off-screen role, his on-screen role diminished, and they're going to bring in somebody to take that place on a more permanent basis. Also, I will say that they either need to shit or get off the pot with the John Cena heel turn. Turning him heel works. But you can't have this, I'm going to avenge Zack Ryder Superman feel. It doesn't work. Either be a heel or don't. It just, the in-between shit worked for Austin and it worked for Rock. It doesn't work for John Cena.
This whole segment led us to CM Punk and John Cena teaming up to take on Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. Laurinaitis distracts Punk and allows Dolph Ziggler to beat CM Punk for the fourth time in a month? Was that how they were putting it?
Yeah.
Four times in a month. And they've not all been clean. I don't think any one of them has been clean.
None of them have been clean.
There's a weird popping sound when you mute your mic.
Sorry. I'm printing. I don't want...
No, I think it's Spug.
It's me.
Oh, okay. Because I'm eating my mic while I'm printing. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I think we're testing out Spug's new mic. So now we know it makes a popping sound.
All right. The old ones never did.
No. But this one sounds like a deeper microphone.
Hmm.
Oh, sounds pretty good. Just for the whole popping sound. Oh, we'll work out the kinks. After the whole... What did you guys think of the match overall?
I was not impressed with Raw at all tonight. At all. Not one bit. For your final Raw heading into one of your big four, it was lackluster at best. It didn't pack the major star power you need, especially embarking on the road to WrestleMania. It seemed like it was thrown together and piecemealed, you know, because you have guys who, Randy Orton, they're saving for SmackDown. Well, if Randy Orton doesn't get hurt in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, he's on Raw tonight. It's just, tonight's Raw felt very lackluster and piss poor. And so, and most of the matches did too.
That does kind of raise a question. Why would they have Randy Orton return at a live event yesterday and not have him on Raw tonight?
Because no one knows what happens at live events except for you?
Yeah, the live event thing is, that's not a big deal. They're advertising him for his return to SmackDown, so... It kind of would make no sense to have him show up on Raw tonight if they're advertising his big return on Friday night.
I must have missed that commercial. I didn't see that.
Well, he could catch everyone by surprise. See who's really watching. Maybe try to pop a rating. Oh, Randy Orton returns to Raw instead of on SmackDown.
But that's my point. Like, the advertising packages are all for Friday. You don't put all those vignettes together, air them on USA, air them during your main program, and then have him show up on Raw.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to be on Raw, and I didn't expect him to be at the house show either, but, you know, shit happens, and he shows up in different places. But, yeah, he was going to be on SmackDown this Friday, no matter what. I would disagree with you, Spug. I thought tonight was actually a pretty good show. Overall, it pushed everything you need to for the Rumble.
I don't know. The whole... When I watched Raw, I saw an advertisement for the Road to WrestleMania tour that would be stopping in Madison Square Garden on March 18th. And what's today's date?
Today is...
January
23rd? 23rd, yeah.
Okay. January 23rd. These are the matches that are being advertised. Now, I know the card's subject to change thing, but these are the matches being advertised for the March 18th stop on the road to WrestleMania in Madison Square Garden. Kane versus John Cena in a last man standing match.
Oh, God.
Mark Henry versus Big Show... versus Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight title. CM Punk, champion, versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. It's January 23rd. These are all storylines that are going on now, yet they've made the matches and are advertising them, whether the card subject to change thing is there or not. They're advertising them for over 2 months down the road.
That doesn't mean anything, because they can change that in a split second and put out a new advertisement in 2 weeks.
That's not my point, though, Rock. My point is that if they have this tour set out, and these are the matches that they're advertising in the local areas, and they're advertising storylines from now, okay, and I said... take that whole card subject to change out of the equation. It proves that they have nothing going into Mania. Nothing.
Unless they don't. Sorry, go ahead.
They're hinging everything that they're going to do in Mania on Roxina. That's it. And they're not even having Roxina build up, you know, 2 weeks out from your biggest show of the year. That, to me, is stupid.
Lindsay, you want to make a point?
Unless they don't want to give away all their storylines for Mania.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, if you have live booked in the main event for Madison Square Garden in 2 months, John Cena versus The Miz for the WWE title, that certainly gives something away. They did that for the local show, for the Super Show that I went to yesterday. The card was John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio until like earlier this week when they fixed the commercials.
Most of the time, and I've noticed this in Cleveland, if they advertise 2 weeks out what a match is going to be, or whatever, 2 months out what a match is going to be at the show coming up, that's usually what ends up happening. So for them to change it, it's probably a little far-fetched that they're going to change it right then and there. Not going to happen. I'm a little fed up with the WWE product at the current moment because of going into Raw. Going to the Royal Rumble, tonight's Raw, and the build-up from this week, and even after watching last week's Raw again, which I felt was a pretty good Raw, it's just lackluster, and it's smacking of they don't care.
The other side of the argument is, going back to the whole, why would you give away WrestleMania matches on a house show?
They've been doing it for years.
But they don't give away everything.
Dude, okay, WrestleMania 7, Jake Roberts versus Rick Martel had the blindfold match, right?
Uh-huh.
They had that the week before Mania 7 in L.A. In L.A.!
And WrestleMania 7 was... how many years ago?
That's not the point, U.S. Why would they give away Mania matches? They do it all the time!
But they don't give away the full card. They can...
I'm not saying you're giving away the Mania card, but what I'm saying is you have no Mania storyline. You're not advertising a single Mania storyline for the mecca of sports entertainment 2 weeks before your biggest show of the year.
But they haven't said any Mania storylines, so why would they go out and promote everyone with their storylines on TV?
What do you mean they don't have any Mania storylines? They've only been advertising one for a year.
And The Rock's doing house shows?
You would think. You want a bigger gate. You want a draw. Show up to a couple.
He's not
going to
show up.
He's not going to do that.
Then
he won't even
retarded.
Show up on TV. Well, yeah, he's retarded, but he's not going to... He won't even show up on TV. He won't even sit in Memorex anymore, but you want him to show up at a house show? I mean, the Rock especially is totally different from everyone else because he's a fucking movie star. He's got to cut out time from his movie star schedule in order to appear at a house show in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
We're not talking you showing up at a house show in New Mexico.
Or
nobody's
going
to go to New Mexico. I'm talking you show up to Madison Square Garden, the venue that built the WWE. You show up to that house show. You don't show up to BFE New Mexico. Who the fuck wants to go there?
But he's not going to any house shows. This is The Rock. He's not going to any house show. He won't even show up on TV. That's the point. The TV show goes everywhere. Everywhere for everyone to see to build heat, and he's not willing to do that. But he's going to show up in Madison Square Garden where there's no TV cameras, where there's a very limited. I mean, yeah, we'll get on the internet that he was here, and that's great, but no one's going to see it except for the few thousand people that are there.
The few thousand. Do you know how much that building would fit? You know the
compared to the amount of people that would see him on television, very few.
The business of professional wrestling is to make money. Correct.
Correct.
So,
and how are we going to get in The Rock when he's not going to show up on TV or be at a house show?
So, if you're 2 weeks out from your biggest show of the year, and the whole goal of this business is to make money, and you've been pimping a storyline for over a year, it would behoove you, as one of the main individuals in said storyline, to put your fucking ego aside and show up at a house show, whether it's TV or not, in a venue that helped build the company that is putting on the event that is probably going to give you a six-figure paycheck for 25 minutes worth of work.
That's assuming that he gives a shit about the WWE.
It has nothing to do with the WWE.
It has everything to do with the WWE if they're the ones signing his paycheck. If he can make X amount of movie money or X amount of WWE money, and the X amount of movie money is more, it behooves you to go to who's going to pay you most.
He's not going to make
the kind of money being on TV or being in a local house show, even if it is on Madison Square Garden, that he's going to make making $10 million, making Fast and Furious $10 million in two.
All right, that's where you're wrong, okay? This is where you're wrong.
Also, Madison Square Garden's going to pay him more money than Fast and Furious?
You said I was wrong. I'm telling you you're wrong.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm tired of you talking over me all the time. You're telling me that he's going to make more money in Madison Square Garden where it's not going to be televised, and even if there's 50,000 people in that arena, not anywhere near as many people are going to see it as are going to see it on the millions that are going to be watching it on television. And you're telling me that he's going to make as much money in that house show that he's going to make making a movie. And you're telling me I'm wrong? How am I wrong?
I'm not talking about him making a movie. I'm talking about him. You said, why would he go to the house show? The WWE signs the paycheck. He's not going to make six figures from a house show. No, he's not. But guess what? He's going to make a six-figure paycheck from the payoff for showing up at WrestleMania. And it's all based, part of his paycheck is based on the gate, based on the draw. And if you want a packed house, if you want buy rates and you want asses in seats, guess what? As a professional wrestler and as a businessman, because we all know the professional wrestling business is about making money first and foremost, then you are going to do everything in your power to make sure that there is no standing room, that any and every eyeball, set of eyeballs, is either on you live in the venue or on you live on pay-per-view. And 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, you have a run-in, you do something at Madison Square Garden. I guarantee you they'll pack the arena at Madison Square Garden, and it'll garner more interest for the Raw the following weekend, and it'll garner more interest for WrestleMania. It goes and goes and goes and goes and goes.
Now,
Hold on, Jackie. He's already done his Madison Square Garden duty this year, Survivor Series. He's not going to go back to a house show in Madison Square Garden. He's not going to a Cleveland or Philadelphia. He doesn't do house shows. The gate he's worried about is the one in Miami for WrestleMania. That's all the gate he has to worry about.
And this is all based on live event information that we're getting right now in January. And you seem to very much want to eliminate the whole term card subject to change He does decide by some miracle of the imagination to show up Madison Square Garden, which is exactly what very well could happen. I don't think that it will, but I'm wrong quite frequently. Then in this case, the card is subject to change, leaves it open for them to change the stuff down the road. But in order for your argument to work, you have to eliminate the possibility that the card could change.
In the experience that I've had with the WWE, an advertisement at least 1 month out from an event in the city, the card hasn't changed. The advertised matches that were advertised on local television and radio took place at the local event. Okay? That's my experience. And what agitated me is not so much the card, but the fact that 2 weeks out from your biggest event and two months gone from the start of the road to your biggest event, you're still doing storylines from January in March.
Assuming the card, there's nothing about the card that is going to change between now and then. It's been very possible that he may not be booked for the MSG house show because he doesn't know, The Rock, he may not know what his schedule is going to be. I mean, as much as I really can't stand The Rock anymore, he is who he is. And his schedule, I'm sure, is insane. The WWE may want to do that, but they may not know he's available. We don't have a clue.
They booked this storyline a year out because that's when he was available. You don't commit yourself to this for a year without making some slots available, like his appearance at Survivor Series and other appearances along the way. Just don't.
Which includes he will be appearing the week before WrestleMania at Raw.
And they could also be deliberately not saying something. I mean, we just don't know.
Correct. And he's not going to be... Honestly, Spike, you think The Rock's going to show up at a house show? In your honest opinion.
Alright. In my honest opinion, if I'm The Rock and I care about money, the draw, the gate, and what I'm going to make off of it, you're damn right I'm showing up at a house show because that's only going to increase my profit.
That's assuming he's not got something else lined up that weekend that's going to make him more profit. We're not talking about not showing up to WrestleMania because of profit. We're talking about not showing up to a house show before WrestleMania because he could be somewhere making more profit or contractually obligated to be somewhere else.
I guarantee you he's not shooting a movie 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I guarantee you that's not happening.
And you know his schedule how?
Because
I know that you think in your opinion, but you don't know. You don't know. I know you like to think you know everything, but you don't.
Shut your fucking mouth, stupid whore.
Spug, stop.
Whatever.
Oh my god.
No, Spug, listen, you're out of
control. I just got complimented.
Spug, stop. No need to get hostile like that.
He can't hurt me, Rock. Don't worry about it. He's so weak, it's not even funny.
2 to 3 weeks out, you're not shooting a movie. Because shooting a movie is taking 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. You're not going to commit yourself to that kind of time when you know you have an event that you have to do. He committed to WrestleMania 28 a year out because he cleared a block of his schedule. It's common sense.
You don't know. There's what you think, and then there's the reality. And I know you like to think you know everything, but you don't know jack shit. He very well could maybe ending a schedule, something the day before, but you don't know.
He says, now moving on. We had the highlight reel for Chris Jericho.
That reminds me, I was curious. I was kind of hoping Mace was going to be here because he was bitching about John Cena, Chris Jericho not saying something, and then he finally said something, and it's something we've heard a million times already. He's just going to be more pissed off.
Yeah, I know. He's going to kick Tim in the nuts, apparently, according to tweets I got from him earlier.
Can we get video of it?
I think so.
Sweet.
I think Tim has plenty of cameras. I think we can film it. So, I'll start with Lindsay because she hasn't said anything in a while. What do you think of the highlight reel?
Honestly, I really wasn't paying attention to it. I'm so over Jericho. I'm so done with it. But just, you know, it's like, yay, he finally talked. But again, nothing of any consequence or significance. It's at the Royal Rumble. It's going to be the end of the world as you know it. Really great. Fantastic. You know, yay, you did something, but you didn't contribute anything worthwhile. I mean, if he hadn't been there, nothing of value would have been lost. Seriously. It's just 10 weeks of this crap. 10 or 11 at this point.
And yeah, I think they started the promos like nothing. 6 weeks out. Yeah.
We're still getting nothing. And like I said last week, I'm done with this shit. You know, I don't care about the payoff anymore. I don't care about the storyline anymore. I'm just done.
Rock, I'm sorry, Lindsay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just wondering, Rock, so Tim Stein is still defending Chris Jericho?
No. No, he stopped defending Chris Jericho. He said that last night. He's no longer defending Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that's it. Chris Jericho has just lost his last supporter.
He really has. What would you think of the whole highlight reel, Jackie?
You know what? I kind of went out there and I was saying to Lindsay as he walked out, he's got to say something. He's got to say something. And I guess in this one sense, I was right. He did say something again, unfortunately. It was just something we've heard so many times before. It was not even funny. So I was like, I'm not quite at Lindsay's spot yet because I know Jericho as a performer well enough to know that he's doing something to just kaboom. I mean, he's got something planned. So I'm pretty much over. Someone tell me when he says whatever it is, you know, when he does whatever it is that he's going to do, tell me and I'll go watch it. But, you know, I'll DVR it. But I'm just like, I care enough to DVR it, but I don't know that I care enough to watch. I'm kind of over it.
Bug?
He's doing whatever it is he's going to do right now. I was talking to a friend of mine, Christian Vaughn, earlier tonight, and again about the whole Jericho thing.
Name dropper.
I am a name dropper. I'm pulling a Wojcik. The Vaughn thing, or the Jericho thing Vaughn was telling me, is like he was saying that Jericho is doing this because if you look at like Taker and HBK, the match was good. The matches were really good, but they would have been much bigger had HBK somehow gotten the crowd to hate him because it was face-face. It wasn't face-heel. The way that they're building this is, of course, Jericho going to be against Punk at WrestleMania. But rather than have Jericho and Punk just face off, Jericho would still be getting face pops because of who he is. He is doing things right now to make the crowd absolutely loathe and detest him every time he comes out. He is actively seeking the type of heat that we say nobody should go after, and that's X-Pac heat, and he's starting to get it, and that's what he wants, because that will make the pop and the payoff at WrestleMania 10 times bigger than it would be right now.
Now, to recap what actually happened on the thing, he came out, got the crowd to cheer a little bit, got the t-shirt gun, shot a t-shirt or two out in the crowd, then on the highlight reel, showed a highlight reel. How amazing, a highlight reel on a highlight reel.
Which was a fantastic highlight reel, by the way.
It was. And then he basically said, this Sunday, the end of the world as you know it, it's about out.
Does this mean he's coming out to REM? Just saying.
That's going to be the musical guest.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not a movie reference, but it's a music reference, so you're still doing a Wojcik?
All I need is one more name drop, and I'm good.
Yes.
They're gonna get back together just for Jericho.
If CM Punk can make in Living Color relevant, why can't Jericho make REM relevant again?
Dude, I was plowing the other night, and the In Living Living Color song came on, and I marked out in my plow truck. I'm not even joking.
Then we had, after the highlight reel, we had Mick Foley appear backstage with Zack Ryder and Eve Torres. Wonder why Mick Foley was there. Just randomly hanging out backstage with his Cactus Jack t-shirt.
Patented Foley cheap hop.
Yeah.
Where's the thumbs up?
I did the thumbs up.
Bang, bang, yes. Because I'm a mark for that guy, so I appreciated it, even if it was only for a minute.
We then transition to Zack Ryder versus Kane.
I know everyone's expecting me to say something, so we'll let Lindsay start.
Gee, thanks. Thanks for throwing me under the bus there. Am I supposed to do the squee or what?
Yeah, do your Harley squee. That was her all during the Kane match.
Yes, that was me all during the K-match. Just loving the 15 or so minutes of just the solid beating Zack Ryder got at the hands of a very vicious Kane. My only issue with that entire segment was when they were all standing backstage right before the match. It's like, oh yeah, they're just all casually hanging out right before Zack Ryder gets his ass handed to him by this vicious 7-foot-tall monster. Don't you think they'd just be a little worried that, oh, I don't know, he's lurking somewhere close by? And that he could come out of the shadows at any time and take them down. I mean, you know, they seemed completely unconcerned about the fact that he was, you know, right there. Or could have been right there. So that was my only issue with it, but other than that, I liked it.
I have a gripe with the ending.
A gripe with the ending too.
We'll get to that in a second. Basically.
But the match was awesome.
Kane beat the living crap out of Ryder for about 10 minutes, I guess it was.
Broke Ryder's back, as they say.
Yeah, apparently he has a broken back now. The finish saw Kane chokeslam Ryder through the stage, breaking the stage apart, and it broke the WWE logo thing on the stage too. that wasn't really put together well.
No, because I've seen was it The Miz? I don't remember when it was, but I saw The Miz do the skull crushing finale on someone on that thing. I've seen John Cena get thrown into it, and he's never broken it. It's no one's ever broken it, and Kane went through and broke it.
That's our boy.
He's very careless.
Before we get back to the ladies, Spug, what do you think of the Zack Ryder squashing by Kane?
It's pointless. It's unnecessary. You've successfully destroyed and derailed what you've pushed for. You've successfully destroyed the push that you've been building for the past few months, and now you've sent Ryder back down to the bottom for what? You couldn't have had Kane destroy John Cena? Because that is who he's going after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate booking would make sense like that, but whatever.
I go back to just what Lindsay and I were talking about earlier, that I think it's at least it started off as, get to John Cena by going after Zack Ryder, just like he went to Eve to get to Zack Ryder, just because John Cena, at least until tonight, judging by his little mid-face episode, is being painted as being unbreakable. You can go after John Cena, but don't go after his friends, I guess. But this is the third week in a row of that.
So what was your problem with the finish, ladies?
John Cena came out and Kane took off like a dog with his tail between his legs. I was like, why? Why? Go out there and take out Cena. Make us happy.
Lindsay?
Yeah, Kane walks off and Cena comes out, Kane walks off, and there's no... They just stand there and they watch Zack Ryder get put on the backboard, and then we see Zack Ryder being loaded in the ambulance. We get John Cena's Miz face, and that was it. It's kind of like there should have been one more confrontation or something, one more mind game with that, just to kind of sort of set that off. Even though Eve yelled at Cena and got in the ambulance and left with Ryder, it felt like there should have been one more thing that went along with that, just to kind of sort of screw with Cena. Because it's like, yeah, okay, he beat the crap out of Zack Ryder, he broke his back, great, wonderful. But there's no other real mind game for Cena in that case. So it's like, yeah, your little buddy got beat up and broken, but it felt a little lacking. And I guess, at least for me, and I guess for Jackie too, we were expecting a little bit more out of the ending. Because the way that they set it up, it's like, okay, they're standing there watching Zack Ryder getting put on the board. We're seeing him being loaded into the ambulance, so something else is going to happen. And all we got was the face and the yelling. And that was it.
And I honestly didn't understand why he just walked through the crowd and they weren't even close to one another. It's not like he
thank got, you.
Yeah.
He was like 20 feet away, and that made no sense.
I was kind of hoping maybe, and I figured when Kane just mysteriously disappeared through the audience, I honestly thought this is the last time we're going to see him tonight. I was expecting Cena pissed off looking for Kane somewhere to, because we got all this anger. And then that was it. I thought, well, we're at least going to show, Cena right before the main event looking, beating up people, throwing stuff over, looking for Kane, but not even that much. I was like, I get that you're building for the Rumble, but that was just a strange way to end that.
Yeah. And this is your go home between the Rumble. For the Rumble, you need to have at least some interaction between the characters other than what you had. And it felt incomplete.
I would agree with that. I would have,
And also, he didn't do anything to Eve, so.
You figured he may at some point, but now that Zack Ryder's gonna be on the shelf, I would think at least a month.
Yeah, but it's like she's right there, and then he backs her down the ramp, which sets up for Cena to come down, but it's like he doesn't even touch her. She's just standing there screaming while Kane's, stalking after her, which she's an idiot for walking out there to begin with.
I know.
It's like, oh yeah, there's a 7-foot guy killing my boyfriend. I'm going to walk out there and watch and scream at him and tell him to stop. Yeah, that's intelligent because, you know, once he gets done with your boyfriend, yeah, he's not going to kill you at all. No.
Right. Does anyone remember what happened to AJ?
I mean, come on. I have a little common sense there, but it just, like I said, there was just a little bit something lacking with the end, especially with the way that they kind of did the setup for it, so.
So after a hashtag Ms. Face,
I like that.
Josh Matthews. We then transition into Jinder Mahal versus Sheamus. Haven't we seen this match plenty of times already?
We have. I would have appreciated something more out of Sheamus than a squash match going into WrestleMania, personally.
Yeah, but this is WrestleMania.
No, I'm sorry. I did it again, messing up my pay-per-views. Royal Rumble.
And you're a host of a show that talks about pay-per-views.
Can't
get pay-per-views
right?
Straight. Go to historyofwwe.com. So we had Sheamus defeat Jinder Mahal.
With Wade Barrett on commentary, he looked extremely hot. That's all I remember about the match. I mean, just personally.
There was nothing else more to it than that. Then we did. Then we go backstage. We have the Miz, you know, talking about he's number one this, number one that, number one this, number one that, and then Mr. Market Research comes in, tells Miz he's number one and a whole bunch of other things. I find R-Truth funny.
I do too. I'm still not liking the embracing of Little Jimmy, and now there's a Little Jimmy T-shirt,
which I know Spug wants.
I do. I want a Little Jimmy T-shirt.
Probably coming soon to WWEShop.com. That set up, Johnny Ace telling them that they will be in matches later on in the night where they will face off at the winner. The winner will, you know, not be number one, but the loser will be number one in the Royal Rumble. But before we get to that, the Funkasaurus showed up.
The Funkasaurus?
The Funk.
Ah, you need to accentuate that N.
Okay, the Funkasaurus showed up. This time in sparkly white.
Gimmick infringement.
I need to do something about that residual jiggle on his back.
I know.
That's just bad. I'm sorry.
Dusty Rhodes had the same jiggle.
I
think
know,
that's what they're going for. That's what I was just going to say.
Tell that man to work out or work on his legs or something, because that's just, I mean, they shook for a good 5 seconds after he got done moving. That's just not right.
I wonder how much of a chance Brodus Clay would really have with those girls backstage.
You'd be surprised.
Jiggle works for some people.
Yeah, jiggle's not all that bad. Depends on what's jiggling, though.
Not his thighs. Sorry.
So we're not starting hashtag jiggling thighs?
No.
No.
Residual jiggle. Like Jell-O, only whiter.
I think that's too long of a hashtag.
I'm going to start the hashtag gimmick infringement.
I put that on Twitter for you.
I saw.
Yeah. I want to tell everyone.
Did you hear it? Did you hear what I was talking about?
I missed it.
When he set up for that fall away fisherman suplex and Brodus Clay hit it, Regal called Brodus Clay a suplex machine. There's only one individual in professional wrestling that is the suplex machine. And he is currently the number one announcer for TNA.
Funaki?
Yes, Funaki. Hashtag FTW.
Yeah, the human suplex machine. Or what was he in WWE besides the, what was he else? Didn't they give him a stupid nickname?
No, he was just Taz.
Yeah.
The human suplex machine came from ECW.
Yeah, I know that. No, they gave him a stupid nickname in WWE.
He was only there for a cup of tea wrestling.
Yeah, I know. But I think it was... Was it the human wrecking machine?
The human wrecking ball.
This is where I'm looking it up at the moment.
I thought it was a human... It's either human wrecking ball or human wrecking machine, but I think it's human wrecking ball.
No, he was the most miserable man, the one-man crime spree. The one-man crime spree was the name they gave him.
I thought that was one-man gang. Really?
Wikipedia has the one-man crime spree.
Sounds like something you'd call the one-man gang. Just saying.
Oh, well, I'm sure too. Anyway, so... We have, you know, Heath Slater appear... And get squashed. The best part about the whole thing was William Regal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Agree with that.
I have a feeling we're going to see a William Regal versus Brodus Clay match in the near future.
That's how they're going to make Brodus Clay. That's how they're going to put Brodus Clay over.
He's already over. He doesn't need to go more over.
It's not a being over with the fans. Having somebody like Regal put you over gives you stroke and rub in the back.
Well, William Regal right now is the number 3 announcer on NXT. I think. Or number 2, whatever you want to call him. But yeah, I think a William Regal Brodus Clay battle would be quite entertaining. But then we move on.
I was going to say, the dance-off they had on SmackDown was pretty cute.
Yeah, that was an interesting segment. To say the least, I don't want to see it again, but... for one, you know you made it when you're in a dance-off.
Or saying. A pose-off.
Or a pose-off, yeah. Then we moved on to R-Truth versus The Miz in basically what was the wrestling main event of the evening. What you guys think of this showdown?
I like seeing these two work off each other. I really do. I love anything that they do.
Oh, yeah, I thought they had good chemistry. They told a nice story. They put on a good match. I guess it was a little bit too obvious in a way that Miz was going to lose just because they're putting R-Truth over right now. But we'll
just
have
to
see.
And now we know who our number 1 entry is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And this is where I'm going to quickly check what we picked last night and see if anyone got that right. Spock, what do you think of the showdown?
It was all right. It was a decent match. It wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah, and we were all wrong, so... Yeah.
Who'd I pick for number 1?
Barrett. And Omega is wrong on who enters last, too. He picked The Miz. So his predictions aren't going to be good on Sunday. But check out our show, the WTR Royal Rumble show, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday night. So... Truth goes, The Miz is going to be number 1. Truth wins the match. We were then told Zack Ryder has a broken back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Zack Ryder is going to somehow get into the Rumble and win.
In a back brace?
I think he's off TV for at least a month.
We can do repackage him?
But you can't do that type of angle and have him back in a week.
But you don't take somebody off of TV unless one of two things. A, they're legitimately hurt, or B, you're sending them down to FCW to repackage them.
Or C, he's doing something else.
What's he gonna, he's gonna go shoot a movie for WWE. Yay.
He might be doing some network stuff.
He might be shooting a movie for WWE. There was a rumor on Twitter tonight that he is filming a movie.
Well, Kane took 4 months off to take some just time off. Maybe he's just taking time off. I realize it'd be a dumb time to do it.
It'd be a dumb time to do it.
Kane can take the time off because he's earned it. Zack Ryder hasn't earned the ability to take 4 months off yet.
Yeah. But Triple H was what, out 2 months with his injury?
Something like that.
So I give him they use the term broken back. They're setting themselves up for, you know, a long, at least 4 weeks, at the least.
Yeah, but you film, if he films a movie, like, you've shot yourselves in the foot.
Oh, they have. They should have never done the angle.
I think what they're setting up for is they're taking Zack Ryder off TV to potentially, if they are going to take Kane and Cena out of the Rumble, to allow Kane and Cena to concentrate on each other, bring Ryder back, which, and potentially have Ryder and Kane feud once Ryder returns, because that's the natural kind of progression of things.
And what are the chances that Ryder just got sacrificed for the sake of pushing a John Cena storyline? Just for this, because if I don't know that this is what's happening, but if what they're doing is having Kane go after Zack Ryder as a means to getting John Cena, could Ryder have just been totally sacrificed, missing time off TV, time on TV, just to push John Cena's story, to get him in, to get everything more over for WrestleMania, Royal Rumble?
I don't know. It's retarded to take Zack Ryder off TV unless they have some big push lined up for him when he comes back. Are we going to have Kane versus Zack Ryder at WrestleMania?
Oh god, I hope not.
It's like a knife right in my chest. Rock.
Well, if you think logically and story-wise,
it would make sense. I don't know that I necessarily want to see it, but logically it would make sense.
That's what I'm saying. Logically, go there and you heard it here first. Kane versus Zack Ryder WrestleMania.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Or unless they're both in the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Oh, by the way, they're doing Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, most likely. And they're killing that pay-per-view.
I was going to say, that's what they're saying. Didn't they kill Money in the Bank? Okay.
Yeah,
so they killed it as a pay-per-view, not as a match.
Not as a match. The match is perfect, but they're probably going to kill it as a pay-per-view. As of today. Tomorrow, Extreme Rules can be off the calendar.
They're cutting pay-per-views, thank God.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, back to Monday Night Raw. Get to our main event segment. Johnny Laurinaitis gets the facts, comes out, has David Otunga read the facts, which basically says that John Laurinaitis is going to be evaluated next week on Monday Night Raw by the one, the only, Triple H. I would think he's getting fired.
Would hope he's getting fired.
No, I think they're going to dangle him on the hook for a little bit, potentially lead it into Elimination Chamber, and then have probably Triple H versus Johnny Ace at Elimination Chamber somehow, some way.
Or will we actually, how about this scenario? We do next week, we do title, say Punk retains title at the Royal Rumble. Title versus job on Raw next week.
And you have Johnny Ace get fired?
After we get the showdown between Laurinaitis and Punk.
And with all the talk that, you know, you've heard on this network about the possibility of Mick Foley becoming the GM, I guess he spilled the beans to someone. Maybe that's why we saw Mick Foley today.
That's a possibility. We shall, see about that one. After the letter was read, Laurinaitis starts to apologize. And Spug, your comment was?
Sounds like an abusive boyfriend.
Yeah.
Making up lame excuses.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you could have Foley versus Laurinaitis on the Raw after the Rumble.
We can have that
for Laurinaitis' job.
We can do that one too.
And both times when we have had an interim Raw general manager go to blows with someone and potentially lose their job, it's always been Punk who's been the catalyst.
Yep, and part of what he also said is Mick Foley's in the Royal Rumble.
Yes, that makes it official. I am ordering this pay-per-view.
You're actually ordering the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I am.
You're going to spend the... How much are pay-per-views?
Usually like 50.
$50.
It's the Rumble. I mean, if there was no other matches, my favorite match of the year is the Rumble.
Yeah, $50 and, for a Rumble.
Yeah. And I don't like being behind everyone on Twitter. I always get the results ruined. So screw it. I'm paying for it.
You're paying for it. You're gonna be one of those people who pay for pay-per-view. Go in and buy a pay-per-view. Go to WWE.com or call your local cable satellite provider and order the pay-per-view live this Sunday.
Or already paid for it, actually.
Yeah, but I'm talking to the people out
in the
universe.
He's talking to those of us that have not actually bought the pay-per-view yet.
Right, I'm trying to hard sell it for WWE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're such a good show.
I am.
They need to give you a job.
They do.
Yeah, he's not going to be like Wojcik. He'll take it.
I will take their money. In a split second.
I guess you and I just don't have the self-dignity or the internal fortitude that Alan has, because he won't take their money.
I was going to say intestinal fortitude.
Intestinal fortitude. Thank you.
Right here on the Raw Post Show.
They can pay us to criticize their crap. I'm okay with that.
Kevin Eck does it at times. On Twitter, follow him, Kevin Eck, WWE. He was the writer for the Baltimore Sun, I think it was. Now he's writing for WWE.com. So, you never know, you could get that job one day.
One day.
Anyway, Monday Night Raw ends. GTS to John Laurinaitis. Woohoo!
Yay!
Woohoo, the crowd goes crazy. He finally hits the move. What's like the stunner? To Vince McMahon, but this is the GTS to John Laurinaitis. Crowd still popped.
Wasn't as cool, though.
No, it wasn't. But it was still well done.
Yeah.
It fit the moment very well.
See, they this one thing. They actually built it up correctly. They made you want to see it.
And it kind of, at least for me anyway, it happened at a time when I was not expecting it. I was too busy being pissed that we weren't going to get to see the match that, honestly, I wasn't even looking for the go to sleep.
But the celebration didn't last long as Dolph Ziggler attacks. Boo. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, which sets up Ziggler Punk.
Yeah, that puts the heat back on Ziggler. Then that's what, you know... You should do logically to set up you put the heat on the heel, which means the babyface gets revenge at the Royal Rumble. Just logical thinking.
You're using WWE and logic in the same sentence. You realize that doesn't apply, right?
I know. I'm just, you know, trying to give them help. Tie it all together. They should use logic sometimes. Doesn't happen quite often, but in some cases, they should do it. So that... Continue.
I was going to say, logic and physics, two things that do not apply to the WWE, ever.
This is true. But that was Monday Night Raw. And I could end the show, but I want to get Jackie's opinion on her, what she did yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I went to an absolutely awesome live event in Las Cruces, New Mexico yesterday. Got 272 pictures. Had a really, really good time. To be honest, I was a little upset when I bought the tickets from Ticketmaster The lady who sold me the tickets on the phone told me I had floor seats, second row, ringside. And I did not. I was the second row off the floor on the bleachers. I mean, Tarak, you saw like, the pictures. I still had pretty good seats, but that was not second row ringside. So fuck Ticketmaster. I am never buying tickets from Ticketmaster ever again. But having said that, the event was still really fun. It was really cool. I would kind of wish Bros Clay was going to be there, but he wasn't. I just had to see that in person. But it was cool to see Kane in person, and he pretty much picked apart John Cena for an entire match, which was great. A lot of Vicky Guerrero Vicky Guerrero and Jack Swagger had a really long, really, really long promo for some reason. Not really sure why that happened. Great opening battle royal, which is about everyone. Basically the entire mid card, winner got a shot at Cody Rhodes in his Intercontinental title, was won by Sheamus, who proceeded to get himself disqualified for I don't know what they call him, but when he just leans the people back over the rope and just savagely beats them with his forearm. He did that for like a count of 20 and got himself disqualified, so he didn't win that. But let's see what else happened. Main event with Punk and The Miz. Punk was not slicking his hair back, so he had a chili bowl thing going on, which is really kind of interesting. Lindsay was marking over it. It was really neat. Mason Ryan and Kofi as tag partners. It was a really good time. And of course, the return of Randy Orton, which was cool. I really liked it. I've been to 3 shows this year, or in the last 12 months, I should say, and that one was the best one I've been to. The new setup for the live events is really interesting. Overall, really good time.
Yeah, what the set, does it look any better? Since you've been to multiple house shows, is it better than the original set they had?
Almost definitely. This is the first one I've been to where they had the new setup. And the last live event that I went to was here in El Paso, and all they had was like the same one they had in Albuquerque, the metal stands with the red lights. I mean, that was all there was. And when it was SmackDown, it was blue lights. This actually, with the new setup, it actually played the backdrop actually plays videos, and then there's 2 monitors on the side that play the videos, the Titantrons. It was really, really cool.
So give you more of a show feel.
Right. And I went with someone. I went with my friend Margaret, who's never actually been to a live event before. And she was like, are they going to set off fireworks in here? I was like, no. they're not going to set off fireworks in the Pan Am Center. This is a college basketball arena, basically. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I swear to God, when Kane came out, I screamed and yelled so much. I'm not kidding. The guy in front of me turned around and was like, bitch, what the hell is wrong with you? I was like, I'm sorry. And I just calmed down and took pictures and all silence for the rest of his match. It was my first time seeing John Cena in person, which was kind of cool. For some reason, he was advertised to be at the event here in El Paso, but never showed.
Faster.
But yeah, and I'm not going to lie. A lot of people were disappointed, but it was cool to get to see him here. And if you want to see the pictures, all 272 of them, go to thehistoryofwwe.com, click on fan photos. I did submit them to Graham Coffin this morning. I don't know if he's posted them, but all 272 pictures there, including this one picture that my friend Margaret got, I hope accidentally, which is like right up Kelly's rear end. I did submit that one too, so go look at it.
I looked at a lot of the pictures you linked me last night. Took me a few attempts.
There's a lot of pictures.
I had to take breaks in every 50 or 100 of them. I had to take a break.
Well, there were 2 of us taking pictures. And she had a 4-gig card, I had a 4-gig card, and then I had 2 4-gig cards in my pocket. So I was not going to run out of space because I was so far back. I didn't think I'd have to take the extra cards because I thought my cell phone was going to work, but when I was that far away, the cell phone video and pictures were coming out really, really blurry. So I ended up having to use my digital camera a lot, and those pictures take up some space. So I went fully prepared.
So once again, go to historyofwwe.com, click on fan photos, and you can see Jackie Fice's photos.
Yay.
You're awesome.
We're not going to talk about your desktop background.
Oh! Okay. So my friend, again, Margaret, that loves me very, very much, was nice enough to get a picture when Kane was on the top rope bent over. And she's really good with the butt shots, I guess. She got one of Kelly Kelly and one full-on ass shot of Kane when he was on the top rope. And, yes, that is now my desktop background.
I just had to put that out there for everyone to know. Such a nice person like that.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's beautiful. I've seen the picture. It's absolutely lovely. The video of it is even better.
I've seen the video. I've seen the video too. She sent me the video as well.
I think I sent you the video first, didn't I?
I don't know.
Did I?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, one of you I sent the video to first. Maybe it was Lindsay.
Yeah, it was me.
I don't know. I got that video and I got the Orton video.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Jackie at the house show. See, I did this on this show because Alan wanted you on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio tomorrow, but he's too loaded of a show.
Oh, okay.
So, because tomorrow night we have two interviews.
Ooh, with who?
One with Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man. That's about, let's say, 45 minutes. Then we also have WWE Hall of Famer, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
No way.
We have the Jimmy Hart on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio tomorrow for about 50 minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, now I know what I'm doing tomorrow. I mean, I always listen to Alan's show anyway, just to show support. But, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. Jimmy Hart. I'm a manager, Mark, more than I'm a wrestler, Mark, to be honest, so I will be there.
Two big interviews. Two. Tomorrow night. And Brian Shields will be on the show as well.
Oh, goody.
He's going to open the show.
I know Brian.
Yeah, we all know Brian Shields, so go check him out on Twitter, MightyPen_Sword. Yeah, so check him out on Twitter. You guys are taping this week, Jackie?
We are. It's going to be, since this is the show going into the pay-per-view, it's going to be Teddy and Alan, and it's going to be just the general, you know, what we expect to see going into Royal Rumble. That's the history of WWE.com/podcasts. And then we are Triple Talk Wrestling Radio. You can find us on Twitter at TTWR1. And we're on Facebook at Triple Talk Wrestling Radio. And you can always send us an email with anything you want to hear at TripleTalkWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. I'm getting to be like Rock. I've learned from the master.
You are learning. Good. Glad you're finally learning. And if you missed last week's edition of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, which featured myself, Omega, Jackie, Lindsay, Lorraine, and Alan.
Lorraine and Alan.
Go to the history of WWE.com. Take a listen to that. We talked everything from, you know, Kane to Jericho and a whole bunch of other things.
We announced Rock's fee.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm expensive.
Yeah. It's like getting the $3,000 fee was fine. It was the Vietnamese lady boys that were the issue.
So you got your line out.
I've been waiting for that.
I know. I know you have. I was like, okay, cool, you got it out. So there you go. Lindsay, you have anything you would like to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, or I'm also on the Tom, TOM, club show on Wednesdays, or Fridays, Blue Kayfabe, it's a little bit bad at me, whatever. You can follow us on Facebook, just search the name, it's TomTom Club Show Podcast, and come check us out, like us on Facebook, please, because they won't shut up about it, and they want followers, so yes, please. Please, like it.
Like them, follow them, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
We did that. We plugged Alan. Saturday night, CB Radio, myself, Subway, Rob Parks, the Weird, the Wacky, and the Unusual. This past week, we talked... how can we put this? Let's see. We talked about the 34-year-old man who's a virgin but has 14 kids.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a sperm donor. Does it out of his house.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, everybody needs a day job.
Exactly. We talked about the man who marries his dead girlfriend. and the woman who offered sex for McNuggets.
Hey, I like McNuggets. How many are we talking?
Didn't say how many, but she went up to many different people. And offered sex to a bunch of different people, and they've all turned her down. Supposedly.
Well, she's having sex for McNuggets. You have to figure she's not that good looking.
Well, it depends on how many we're talking about and who's offering. If we weren't talking about certain people, you'd do it for one.
You do it for free if I know who you're talking about. You pay him with McNuggets.
Hey, I've already laid down $60 for a hamburger and a steak. I'm not laying out any more money, so.
Uh-huh. You trollop, you.
I'm sorry, Rock. I'm sorry.
What do you have to be sorry for?
We totally interrupted what you were talking about.
I'm fine with it. See, I don't care if you interrupt. It makes for more entertaining things. I let it happen. So yes, check out CB Radio this Saturday, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Talked about this Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern, Wrestle Talk Radio, the Royal Rumble post-show. Tim will be there, Omega will be there, Spug will be there. Apparently, according to Twitter, Mace might not be there. We'll have more details about that hopefully soon. But he's apparently going to be working, probably.
I thought he said he was off.
That's what he said, too, but then I got a tweet this morning, and he says he might not be on the post-show.
That lying bastard.
I know. What's up with that, Mace? What's up with that?
We expect a pre-recorded response before Sunday, damn it. And it better be hilarious. Or there will be consequences.
He's looking for hashtag spankings.
You're not going to let that die,
and the person who has that as his Skype motto is not.
What are you
not going to mention any names.
You got to get in line behind Omega. Once I get done taking his dictation, I'll take care of you.
And there you go. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, twitter.com/wildtalkradio. That's been the Raw post show for another week. Got a little out of hand, but hey, it makes for radio, I guess.
I think, you know what? It's 1 o'clock in the morning where you are. It's almost 11 where we are, so it's late. The kiddies are safe. We're out of prime time. We're good.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Ratings are all that matter.
Yep.
And a lot of people tuned in tonight, so thank everyone for tuning in. Next week, call in. I'll take your questions, comments. I think we're going to make this a regular thing. It's fun. It's fun talking wrestling on a Monday night. And you don't have to pay for it. Sorry, it's a shot.
If you're paying with McNuggets.
Exactly. Or ranch dressing.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Or that's falling low. Low.
That's a low blow, you guys.
You didn't have to say anything and no one would have known a thing.
But it was too funny the story not to tell.
Well, if you want to throw it out there, you don't have to. I'll save you that.
I just to make a very long story short, I accidentally lost control of a piece of cauliflower that was covered in ranch dressing, and it ended up landing in the lap of someone that I care for a great deal. And personally, I would have rather been me that landed in that lap rather than the cauliflower, but it did not work out that way.
You were just trying to get him naked, that was all.
Well, he got it on his face and in his hair. It was really unfortunate, and I'm still very embarrassed.
Love how I throw things out there and we get the stories told on the air for everyone to hear. You know it's recorded.
He called it a cauliflower slam. I know.
For the Spud guy who was here, for Lindsay and for Jackie, I'm Soraka. We'll see you next Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, for the Monday Night Raw WTR post show, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom. WildTalkRadio.com